Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell on YouTube just to make sure you know when your new Going In Raw content is available. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a variety of reward tiers, including the $5 best value tier. That's $5 a month, and you get three weekly recap live stream. So this very podcast right here is being witnessed live by about 55 people. They got to hear all about Larson, the story of your effed up finger right there. It's nasty. It's purple. You guys watching this, not non-patrons, see, that's exclusive info for patrons right there. How Larson jacked up his finger.
Yeah.
Nobody knows it unless you're a $5 and a patron.
Yep.
Anyways, we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw with, 13 designs or so.
Sorry, I saw somebody laugh in the chat. I got to get away from there.
Oh, yeah, it's the chat. We got 56 people watching our chat right now, and we're talking about the ketchup pre-cum. It's when
you don't shake up your ketchup and some of it separates, so it's, I guess,
yeah,
it's water.
Yeah.
But it's got a little bit of tomato in it. Yeah. So it's like runny, kind of pale red stuff that comes out first, and it's all water.
Dude,
and no vessel is appropriate for that.
So what's
like
my
fry?
What's my favorite condiment?
Gross.
What's my favorite condiment?
Mustard.
Yeah, it's mustard. Do you know how often this has happened when I get like a great hot dog ready to go and I get the mustard out and I squeeze it and it goes just pees all over my hot dog? It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's why I don't do mustard on my hot dog.
What's wrong with
that? I only do mustard
that
on pastrami.
It's so nasty. Those kids at MIT can't figure out that one.
Also, you just shake it up. That's all you got to do.
Man,
shake it up.
That's the point of MIT kids, man, is to make things...
No.
It's to make trivial things more convenient. It's to make things that shouldn't be more convenient.
This is coming from a guy who's all into transhumanism.
I'm totally going to be a cyborg one day.
You'd rather have their time spent finding ways for your mustard not to separate in the bottle.
I feel like there's special MIT classes devoted to that crap. There's plenty of good minds already on.
But there's a solution.
Hey, you know,
there's a solution to your problem right now.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
A couple times. Just shake it up.
I do that plenty, pal. Listen up. We're gonna talk about SmackDown right now.
Yeah.
Hell of a show. I feel like they tried to bring their A game, and I feel like they came close to bringing. Look, I popped pretty hardcore at the very end. What more can you really want? You know what I mean? There is some good stuff going on here. We got Fashion Peaks. I would give the show a grade of
B+.
Yeah. I would say B+. B+ is good. Because there are some things they could have done better. And, yeah, we'll talk about it when we get there. Number one, thanks to the friendo out there. Oh, I wanted to mention this really quick I'll mention that during Dirt Sheet. I do want to mention this. One of our friendos, I forget who. Big old Going In Raw sign.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Right there behind commentary. Thank you. We saw you.
Thank you very much.
I saw him. I was like, wait, did I just see that? And I got on Twitter to see if our friendos out there were tweeting at me at Real Going In Raw. And they weren't yet, but I caught it. And then he put it up again, and that's when everybody saw it, and we started getting left and right.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. There's also somebody also had a really cool Grimm sign.
Yeah.
Very glittery.
Towards the hard cam, yeah.
Grimm's fans, they got the art skills. Anyways. We'll just start at the beginning. They went right into it. It was Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles, their big rematch
for the U.S. Championship. Any other episode of SmackDown, this would have been your main event.
Right.
This week it opened the show.
Right.
Another really good match with the wonky finish.
Yeah, what's up with them doing these? Okay, so was this finish supposed to be similar to the finish we got?
I think so. Problem was that AJ didn't really try to get out of the pin.
Yeah, I know. AJ's shoulder wasn't really up.
And he really was making no effort.
And he was making no effort to
get out of his predicament.
So if this was the same thing, but sort of the inverse, Kevin Owens did it a lot better than AJ Styles. Because AJ Styles looked like he was thinking about, you know, a lasagna recipe or something while he was doing his finish. But I did think, I thought that out of the three matches we've been given, this one had, I think by far, even leading up to the wonky finish, the most, I'll say, passion. It was for me, it was a more frenetic energy to it.
Yeah.
This was a good match up until the wonky finish. And even the wonky finish didn't come off as so confusing as the last one.
Oh, not at all. I mean,
this one, it was plainly obvious what they were doing.
Yeah.
Plainly obvious what they were
completely
doing.
Plainly obvious. So the finish saw Kevin Owens try to punch AJ. AJ got out of the way. And so Mike Chioda, I don't think he really got hit. Just because he was quite a ways away from Kevin Owens.
He sold it really well.
Yeah, he
though.
Did. Got hit in the face, in the eye. So he was selling the ref bump, specifically a shot to the eye. So I think Owens super kicks AJ. Sets him up for a pop-up powerbomb. AJ reverses that into a roll-up. So he goes for the pin. Ref's counting it. Kevin Owens has his one shoulder basically reaching for the ref. His arm's like way out. So his shoulder's not even close to being down. But the ref, selling the eye injury, doesn't see it. Counts the pinfall. AJ wins, retains the U.S. title.
You're right, right, right.
Immediately after that, we go backstage. Mike Chioda is getting attended to by the trainer.
I love this segment. This is a great segment.
Yeah, it was.
Kevin Owens is so good. He's so good.
Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon come to Mike Chioda. Shane McMahon says, you know, yeah, official ruling stance, but you screwed up.
Yeah,
you made a
up,
huge
dude.
Mistake.
Yeah. He said he should have called for a second ref. Chioda said, it was too fast going on. Didn't have time to call for another ref. Shane was saying, but you messed up, dude.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens comes in.
Pissed. Hot.
Yeah. Starts
hot.
Yelling at everybody. Yeah. Pushes Chioda.
Yeah.
And he wants justice.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane says, I'll give you this, another rematch.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam, Kevin Owens says, well, I want a ref that's got two good eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to pay attention to what's going on and is unbiased.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan's getting kind of pissed off right now because Kevin Owens is being all sorts of disrespectful.
Yes.
And he feels like everybody needs to bring it down a notch.
And so he says, all right. Daniel Bryan says, Shane McMahon is the referee.
Yeah.
And Shane is surprised. He's taken aback.
He's like, uh-huh.
Owens is like, no.
Yeah.
And then Shane says, okay, I'll do it. This is the only way you're getting your rematch. Take it or leave it. Yeah. Owens takes it.
This is kind of shades of their Mania buildup when AJ got screwed.
Yeah.
and for being rightfully pissed off about it, they punished him.
I know.
So it's kind of that.
Yeah, pretty much is.
So this should, I would imagine, this will finish with AJ at SummerSlam. AJ is going to keep the title.
Oh, yeah.
And then that'll lead to a Kevin Owens Shane feud.
Probably.
Probably. And then maybe go to Survivor Series or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see them going all the way to Mania.
No.
Though.
I hope not. That's a long build for a program.
I thought this in a vacuum was a great way to start off SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's because of the confusing, weird, oddball finish last time. It was like, okay. That's weird. Anyways.
Next.
This was great.
Oh, yeah, this was fantastic.
This was fantastic. And I even tweeted about this. I said, it is so impressive. It is so impressive that the Usos have turned me around 180 degrees. They are one of my favorite acts now in the business, and they used to be one of the acts that absolutely put me to sleep. So sometimes it's somebody noticed on Twitter to me as well, it's simply creative and what they have for these guys to do.
Yep.
You know,
I mean, they before they came out, did the promo. They did the New Day's entrance.
Yeah,
and they did it really well.
Yeah, I know.
And at first, everybody was fooled.
Yeah,
and then the music hits. They come out. It's great. The promo's great.
Because he said, "Clap for your busted ass tag team former tag team champs or something like that."
No, tag team champions.
Tag team champions.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come out and they're laughing and they've trolled the shit out of the crowd
because
there was like an audible, like gasp when everybody realized that it was the Usos trolling them.
Yeah.
That was great. People were pissed.
Fantastic.
People were pissed. It was fantastic.
I loved it. So they come out, drop a really good promo saying they're going to get their titles back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Usos are hitting it out of the park.
Hope they do, man. I freaking love the Usos. I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but still. Oh, look at that. This guy has a fun wrestling shirt on.
Awesome.
Who's this? Excessive Derp. Thank you.
Good job. Derp. Nice shirt.
I was actually on Twitter for a reason. I was trying to look at like who was sending me that stuff. Next up after that, we had instead of Twin Peaks, we had Fashion Peaks.
I always love, this is kind of an aside, the Twin Peaks, just how it's the font.
I know.
The color scheme.
It's amazing.
It's fantastic. I know. It's so simple.
I know.
And they got it all down perfectly. Intro sequence, the titling,
this
everything.
Was probably my favorite of good. Their parodies.
Pretty good.
This was damn good. And the funny thing is, it got, it, like, I was noticing it was leaking out into, like, sort of mainstream, like, media. Not, like, CNN or anything, but, like, a bunch of, like, non-WWE or non-wrestling sort of, you know, pop culture sites were picking up on this.
Yeah.
That somebody there, like, you know, is obviously a mark for Twin Peaks. This was good. This was really good. Talk about this, because I have to bring up something that one of our friendos sent us, and I have to find it.
Okay.
So
Fandango has been kidnapped by the mystery assailants.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he's missing. So the whole thing starts of like a little piece of paper saying, you know, looking for, if you find this person, it's Fandango on it, but it looks like a picture from the 80s.
Yeah.
He's wearing a sweater. His hair is combed in a very specific 80s way. So it's Breezango dictating something into a recorder. And then saying, well, I don't know, let's call this person. It's going to take forever for this person to get it.
Right.
As he does it, he sees, like, what he thinks is kind of like the premonition or Fandango, and he's talking seemingly backwards.
Right.
And he's in his, like, in dancer getup, and he's there just gyrating his hips.
Right.
Back to Tyler Breeze, and then back to Fandango. And he's either side of him or the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Connor has a log
that
he's pouring maple syrup on, it looked like.
Yeah.
And then Victor had a rose that he was smelling.
Yeah.
And there's weird music. Fandango sounded like he's still talking backwards.
Right.
And Tyler Breeze was screaming, too many metaphors, too many metaphors, too many metaphors. And he comes to, and actually it was a dream.
Yeah.
He was just dreaming the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he says,
I know who it
has
is.
Fandango.
Right. Okay, so we were on Twitter last night. Somebody named Sup at Foamy424 sent us this clip. They had taken Fandango's audio.
Oh.
And reversed it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this anywhere else. This might be a Going In Raw exclusive.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it's a swerve, but it sounds like an intentional one. I'm going to play it.
Well, he says it's Sing Brothers, right?
Yeah. It sounds like the Sing Brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's a swerve because I don't think at all. So thank you for sending that
yes.
in.
Yes, thank you very much.
That wouldn't surprise me if they did that on purpose to see if anybody did that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the Sing Brothers, but that's pretty clever.
That is.
That's pretty damn clever.
Yeah.
Because it totally sounds like it. So, anyways, I like when our audience is, they're the clever ones.
Yes.
So that was kind of cool.
Good investigative journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Exactly.
Next, Sami Zayn versus Aiden English. Aiden English didn't have any famous works of art on his pants this
Correct.
Week. He just Correct. Had paint on his pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad.
I know.
Are we sure that wasn't a Jackson Pollock?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't splashes.
It was
just, you know, like someone just like took a paintbrush.
Like he had just been
exactly.
painting. Okay, I got you. What's his face? Aiden, number one, he had like, I think his song lasted longer in a match.
Yeah.
Because he was singing for a while.
He was.
And then he got the roll-up win.
Won, yeah.
Yeah. Surprising everybody.
Very surprising.
Massive win streak for
of two.
The artist Aiden English.
Two matches in a row, he's won.
One was more than Curt Hawkins. He has a 100-match lose streak.
Yes.
Loss streak.
After the match, Sami Zayn upset in the ring. Mike and Maria Kanellis come out to the ramp and say something to the extent of, we love each other, but we also love that you lost.
Yeah, so that's still going.
Yeah, I don't know why that feud's still going. Sami's beat him twice.
I know. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're like, they didn't know what they were going to do with it, and now they're like, oh, hey, you know what we could do? Let's just do this with it.
Yeah.
Maybe they have an idea now. I don't know, man. Sami needs to be like in a program for the
I know. I just read somewhere that he was in line to get a major push. And then he loses to Aiden English?
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. Maybe they just think that Sami can eat losses and still be over.
Well, he can.
Yeah, I know.
To a degree.
But at a certain point, he needs to start winning matches.
Yeah. Let's see here. After that, we had Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalia and Miss Money in the Bank, Carmella.
I feel like this match was pretty short, too.
Let me ask you something. I had a Twitter exchange last night with somebody. I forgot his name. Where he was giving a shit for me shit, basically, because I don't think he really had much to say about it. But I was kind of crapping on Alexa Bliss's title reign in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a fan of Naomi's.
Yeah, she's great.
But his point was she's defended it like once in the span of like 120 days.
Yeah.
And I got to think, I was like, yeah, I mean, I get the point. I totally get the point.
Yeah.
I think the difference is, like, one of the differences, it's kind of like when Dean Ambrose had the U.S. championship. You, like, never defended it.
Yeah, when he was a member of the Shield, yeah.
Doing nothing, you don't notice. And cause, so I'm kind of validating this friendo's point here. But when you do nothing, it leaves less of a mark on you than if you do stuff and it fails.
It's not good, yeah.
Like, I'll always have that sense. Now when I think of... Because so we're getting Alexa Bliss versus Bayley at SummerSlam.
Well, assuming
at SummerSlam
is legit hurt.
Right. But
is not legit hurt, sorry.
Assuming this is like a work, or assuming she's able to make it in time for SummerSlam if it is legit. And when Alexa Bliss gets on the mic and she starts talking about Bayley and she has her little sarcastic voice, it throws me back to the kendo stick, to the Bayley, this is your life, to Bayley in general, mm-hmm. you know, who's, you know, whose main opponent has been Alexa Bliss through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just comes off as this is, you know, I like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I like Alexa Bliss. I think she can do really good work.
Yeah, she can.
And I think she's doing as much as she can with what they're giving her. I just feel like the way they've approached the Naomi thing, I've appreciated more because it's been, they put the title on her, they give her wins, they give her a good attitude, and it's sort of a slow build to her being a decent champion.
Yeah. Here, I'll say this about Alexa Bliss real quick. Maybe they realize, and this is probably giving the writing staff too much credit, they realize what they did during the first phase of the Alexa Bayley feud was not good.
Right.
In terms of Bayley, this is your life, the kendo stick match.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to follow that same pattern again with the second part of it.
Right.
But they want to kind of allude to it.
Okay, yeah.
So you have Alexa take the same disposition towards Bayley. Not so much in terms of what she's saying.
You can't just ignore that it happened.
Yeah. But just her general attitude towards Bayley. So you're not getting, you know, the stuff about Alexa saying that, you know, Bayley's dad had to go on dates with her.
Yeah.
You're not getting that, but you're getting the same general attitude. Mm-hmm. You're getting what you said, mm-hmm. the annoying voice that harkens back to that.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
Not to directly mention that, to harken back to it. So there's heel heat on Alexa without going back to all that stuff that didn't work. Again, it's by inferring way too much.
That could be. And I mean, I did say when they announced the five-way elimination match to determine a number one contendership at the last pay-per-view, when they announced that like 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, I remember distinctly saying, geez, that's going to be a long time before Naomi defends that title again.
Yeah.
And which I don't appreciate, but...
But she's still been on TV every week.
She's been on TV every week. She picked up a win this week. And I thought I was walking her, watching her extra hard because I was in the middle of this conversation. And I was like, you know, it's wrestling. And I told the guy, I was like, I'm not peeing on your enjoyment of Lexa Bliss. That's great. Enjoy who you want to enjoy. This is who I enjoy. And I was looking at him, I was like, man, I like Naomi.
Yeah, she's great.
I don't think there's anything
that reversal
really...
from the code of silence into her own submission move.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I know. You can see her develop as a wrestler.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. Yeah. And she has LEDs on the title.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, if you like Alexa, I like Alexa too.
Yeah, I do
I just feel like the creatively speaking, the writing around the what Raw's women division hasn't been as strong. I mean, where's Sasha Banks this whole time?
I know.
You know. I mean, was she showed up on Snapchat as a, you know, as a zombie?
Mm-hmm.
And then was she even on Raw?
Mm-mm.
She wasn't even on Raw.
No.
Why aren't we getting Sasha versus Bayley here at SummerSlam?
I know.
Probably because we're going to get Mania. But anyways. Let's
Next,
see
we had a Jinder Mahal interview.
Randy Orton.
No, he's past Randy Orton now.
Doesn't matter if it's John Cena.
He looked at the belt a lot during this promo.
Or, yeah, I know. And he got some showcase hands from the guy who could use his hands. Jinder still cracks me up.
Yeah,
I still laugh at him. But his time is done. SummerSlam, it's time for that title to move on. to somebody we all know pretty much deserves it. Oh, man. But you know what, man? I think Jinder has given it everything
he has. Oh, yeah.
I think he's given it everything he has.
He was given this opportunity, and he has made the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next, Rusev versus Chad Gable. Great match.
I am really happy. Number one, this was a great match. I am really happy that Rusev went over here, even though I love Chad Gable.
Yeah, it was a really strong showing for Chad Gable, though.
Yeah, it really was.
He didn't look poorly in defeat.
No, he didn't. And if they keep on giving him high-profile matches like this, regardless of if he wins or loses, even if he loses, he'll be just fine, and then he'll turn a corner, and it'll be
Chad
great.
Chad Gable has Daniel Bryan written all over him.
He does, man.
He's phenomenal in the ring.
Absolutely does.
Those rolling suplexes he did were great.
Yep.
Especially in a guy the size of Rusev.
I know.
Super impressive.
I know.
He's got tons of personality. Give him a couple years, he's going
to
be massive.
He's Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle rolled into one. Oh, my God. There's a lot of money to be made there. Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, yeah, he can, you know, give him a year, build up a following, let people appreciate his in-ring skills as a solo competitor in wins or losses.
Yeah.
He's going to put on good showings.
Yeah.
He'll get him over and then start pushing him as with a real character in significant and substantial feuds, and he's going to be massively over.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his ring gear is great.
It's fantastic. No, nothing bad I can say about him.
Rusev went over with an accolade.
Mm-hmm.
Got on the stick. Dropped a promo, wanting real competition. He kind of blew off losing to Cena.
Oh, yeah.
At the last pay-per-view.
Cena didn't beat me. He just walked up and planted a flag.
Yeah.
Good point, Rusev. You're absolutely right about that.
He wasn't pinned, never submitted.
Exactly.
Randy Orton comes out.
So apparently we're not going to get Randy Orton versus the Great Khali.
Yeah.
What a drag.
Kind of.
No, it's not a drag. Let me ask you something. Any chance Rusev goes over at SummerSlam?
Yeah.
I think there might
be
a chance.
Orton's in the phase of his career right now where he can be putting over more people.
I think he should be.
And I think so long as he the motivation for this feud is flimsy, but so long as they can make something substantial about the rationale behind the feud.
Oh, man. You know,
I think Randy could get into
it. Dude, listen, man. We've got 2 weeks before SummerSlam. We don't need shit beyond Rusev saying, I want to fight somebody at SummerSlam. Randy Orton coming out and saying, I'll fight you at SummerSlam. RKOs, accolades for 2 weeks. I don't give a shit. This is the one thing I don't give a shit if there's motivation on.
Okay.
Because there's 2 weeks. We don't need a story now. It's Rusev. No,
I'm saying, assuming the feud carries on past SummerSlam.
Here's how we book this. Of course we need a story then. Here's how we book this. Next week, Rusev doesn't show up to SmackDown. He's at his house with Lana, and he's got his Speedo on, I've seen in those Instagram
pictures. He's standing on his freshly mowed lawn.
Aviators, his mowed lawn, and a cigar. Barefoot, Randy Orton rolls up on him, RKOs him. The following week, same thing happens, except this time it's on a beach somewhere with Lana. And then they go SummerSlam, Rusev
stands. But all this happens on Instagram.
Yes, because they need the space on SmackDown. It all happens on Instagram. That's great.
Yes.
No, I love it. That's
so
perfect.
Orton gets on the mic, says, yeah, I'll face you at SummerSlam.
The great thing is, Orton tries to get in the ring. Rusev does not run away. Rusev tries to, he mad dogs him, so Orton backs off.
Yeah.
And Orton says, he gets on the stick and he says, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be in the ring with me
and
either.
And Rusev drops his mic and does this.
I loved
Come on
it.
In.
I loved it.
Join me.
Then Rusev gets back on the mic and just starts running him down, I think, in Bulgarian, Russian. I don't know what he's
Bulgarian, speaking.
Just starts running him down for like a minute. He didn't stop it. He didn't transition to English,
either. No point, yeah.
It was fantastic. And then they throw. He gets
an RKO out of
off. Yeah, out of nowhere. And 2 weeks, fuck it. I want to see these guys fight, man.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's great. Rusev. That's fantastic. I hope he goes over, man.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because otherwise, this is another boring Randy Orton victory. Rusev would benefit so much more, and Randy Orton wouldn't feel anything.
No.
You know?
No.
He'd be fine.
Yes. Next, the main event.
All right, so here's the thing. I loved this match. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, it was Nakamura's best match since he's been brought to the main roster.
It was, true. It was so much fun. I'm going to get that out of the way before I crap on it just a little bit. This match started, and this is a direct counter to that segment I'm bringing to the table we saw when Pete Rosenberg was saying, people are saying, why aren't you putting the big matches on pay-per-view instead of
Yeah, the commercial breaks. That, the commercial break issue bothered me during the U.S. title match, too. There's two commercial breaks during the match. One of them, they had the picture-in-picture.
Yeah.
But still.
Corey Graves said, because, and they both, you know, defended it, saying, and this is a valid point of view. You know, you put your, you put stellar match. Why would anybody, why would anybody complain about great matches? Here's why. Because when I looked at my, I specifically looked at my, phone when this match started. And it was 6:46.
Yeah, about 14 minutes to the end of the show.
14 minutes, right? They get into it, and they do the great thing. And it was so shades of Shinsuke versus AJ at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
When Cena goes in and Nakamura ducks down and basically says, "You can't see me."
Yeah, then
Cena does the same, "You can't see me."
Later on, Nakamura does something, and he does, like, glasses.
He does glasses so he can see him. It was all that great. It felt like two titans going at it.
Yes.
It really did. Then you get a commercial break. And the commercial break seemingly lasts forever. And look, I'll be honest. I haven't really harped on the commercial break thing all that much. Like, it hasn't really bugged me that much. But when you hype up and then on your programming, you make a point of saying, well, it's a great match. What do you care? You know, if it's on free TV, you use it on free TV to bring people to the network, which is a strategy, and that's totally fine. But when if you're going to give them 14 minutes, either give them all 14 minutes or, you know, without the commercial breaks, or make it 20 minutes with some commercial break. You know, like 14 minutes minus, I swear to God it was 3 minutes. It was probably two.
Yeah, two. But 14 minutes minus four, that's only 10 minutes of match you get to see.
I know. And my point is, man, imagine if this is a 30-minute match with no commercials. Like, and what they brought last night was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, they could be competing. Like, John Cena can compete with some of those G1 matches. Mm-hmm. He really can. We've seen it with AJ Styles. We've seen it with CM Punk.
The bump he took on the suplex
was a very G1 bump.
Yeah.
It really was. It was fantastic. So, Nakamura kicked out of an AA.
He kicked out of one.
Yeah, he kicked out of one.
And then Cena picks him up for another one, gives it to him, and then does the rollover where he picks him up in one fluid motion.
This is after a little bit more offense.
Yeah, yeah. This is the finish of the match. Yeah.
The finish of the match. Cena hits another AA, tries to roll through, or goes for a third. Nakamura reverses to a reverse exploder suplex.
Cena lands right on his neck.
And you guys can see this gif on all over Twitter. Ooh, that looks so ugly.
And then when they replayed it in slow-mo and on impact, Cena does this.
Right.
You can't tell.
And then he starts doing this.
Yeah, it makes sure he's feeling in his extremities.
Yeah. Nakamura hits Kinshasa and goes over. I popped so loud.
Yeah.
I popped so loud. Gypsy got freaked out and almost bit me.
Did you notice, I read about it beforehand, but I paid attention to it, where Nakamura says, "John," or "I'm sorry, John."
Yeah, and he says, "Don't be sorry," and then he said something else. No, it was fantastic. It's John Cena. He's got muscles on muscles here. He's half robot anyways. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it was a taste of brilliance. But I'm telling you, man, I want to see these guys rematch before Cena calls it a day, which I think will be down the line a bit. But we're going to get Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I read something online that Cena is going to start shooting that Transformers movie like really soon.
Oh, no kidding.
Like
next
week or something like that. I don't know if that's true.
Okay, so after the match, the dark match.
Well, Baron Corbin came out and attacked Nakamura, right?
Yes. And then Cena got involved or something like that. Okay, so somebody posted this, and I don't have who it is, but they sent it to me, and then it's been making the rounds all morning. That WWE.com accidentally posted a recap of what people are saying they wanted.
Oh, the original plan was Corbin getting involved, yeah.
And they post on the website. Here's the great thing about this, and this is why Steve is amazing.
Oh, because it was exactly what you said earlier?
It was exactly what I said. It wasn't just Corbin coming in and interfering. It was Corbin coming in, interfering, and inadvertently costing Cena the match, which is how I booked that shit on Monday. So evidently we're going to see John Cena versus Baron Corbin for his briefcase at SummerSlam. Cena will then come over to the Universal title match, make it a five-way, and win the Universal Championship.
Well, since Corbin didn't get involved, what motivation they have for Cena going after his briefcase?
Because he got involved afterwards? Because he'll get involved at the next SmackDown? You don't think Cena's going to have a match? You think the Transformer movie is going to preclude that from happening?
I don't know. Yeah. I would be very surprised if WWE was like, all right, cool, you can sign on to be on this movie and not be on the third most important show of the year. So I suspect he will be at SummerSlam. I thought maybe he'd just take this loss to Nakamura and says, okay, I'm going to go to Raw now.
Oh, insert himself in the Fatal 4-Way?
Yeah.
Nah, man, he's going to have that. Boy, that'd be hot if he just showed up on Monday and inserted himself in the Fatal 4-Way.
Because I think
Corbin, that's never going to happen. It'd be so
cool. Oh, it'd be surprising if it did. But I think it would be a huge detriment to Corbin to have him lose that briefcase.
Oh, that's not. I was joking. That's not going to happen. No. But he is going to. I think he is going to fight Cena. I think he's going to lose, and I think he's going to try to cash in at the end. However, I think Corbin's going to lose his cash in at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
I think that's going to happen. What bigger way to make a massive media and then to give Corbin so much fucking fury at Nakamura if he goes to SummerSlam after the Jinder Mahal match?
Yeah.
Cashes in on Nakamura, Nakamura wins.
Yeah.
That would be massive.
That would be massive.
I have a feeling that's going to happen. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but they just had him beat John Cena clean.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends.
Hey, listen. If Nakamura is the new Cena, that's the most Cena shit I've ever heard of.
Yeah. No, I know.
He's done that
before. I'm just thinking in terms of how the SummerSlam card's going to play out. I'm assuming the Universal title match is going to be the main event.
Yeah.
So, if it's Roman Reigns winning, I can see something like that happening.
Mm-hmm.
If Roman Reigns wins the main event at SummerSlam. If not, say Braun wins or Joe wins.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if they had such a high moment like that happen before the Universal title match.
Like before, but it's not, well, obviously not going to be before. There's going to be a filler stuff to bring people still, down. I could see that.
I don't know.
I could see
that. That'd be such a huge moment.
Yeah, I know.
And then to have, like, if Reigns is going to win, I can see that. At least people, like the hardcore fans that don't like Reigns, can say, yeah, Reigns won, but at least we got to see Nakamura win two matches.
That's always got to be the reaction these days. Well, we got this, but we didn't get what we really wanted. Yeah. You know? We didn't get everything we wanted.
But if, like, Joe wins,
then,
you know, the hardcore fans will go home happy, so they don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do both. I'm just saying. I'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised if they give us that much happiness.
I know.
Exactly. No, I'm with you on that. But I don't know. I just get a feeling. I could be wrong about that. Forget what else I was going to say. Maybe we should just answer questions now.
Yeah, we should. We can do that.
We can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Anyways, I don't know. It was a lot to like. It's funny, too, because somebody tweeted at Corey Graves. If you're looking for a pod, because Corey Graves said about podcasts,
likes too many of them or something like that.
Well, he said, you know, I don't like podcasts that run everything down and tries to be negative about everything. And somebody said, if you want a positive podcast, look at Going in Raw. And I mean, he probably didn't fucking look because he probably has a bunch of notifications. But I went back and looked at my Twitter. I was like, if he looks at my Twitter right now, it's going to be, you know, this match is great, but imagine if they had 30 minutes on pay-per-view.
Well, that's not being negative.
We're constructive, but I think I would imagine, and this isn't a knock against him, I would imagine a lot of people within the WWE, especially like on-air performers of whatever kind, they have to deal with so much wrestling crap. You know, just people being so, like, dumping on the product.
Yep.
And they're probably thinking to themselves, why are you even watching that?
I know.
You know?
I know.
So, so I could see how they could probably, in their mind, amplify. If anybody says anything negative, it's like, oh, they're probably just a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. You ready to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the questions right
now. Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead. Michael Berry,
looking forward to Elimination Chamber. Would you guys rather see the first women's Elimination Chamber match or a Cruiserweight Elimination Chamber match?
Cruiserweight. Here's the thing. I'm not a fan of the Elimination Chamber. So I don't know. I don't think it would be like, oh, it's such a huge moment for women's wrestling. They get their own Elimination Chamber match. Like, who fucking cares? Like, it's Elimination Chamber. Does anybody really mark out for that?
A lot would depend on the stories leading into it. Whatever would be the most interesting stories?
I mean, you think those cruiserweights climbing all around the
cage? Yeah, that'd be some cool spots.
That'd be great. By the way, Neville's totally losing that shit at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've done a damn good job building that. And building the case for Akira Tozawa.
Oh, yeah. And the crowd was super hot for his match this week on 205 Live.
I know.
Nemo, what do you give Jinder's odds of walking out of SummerSlam with the title?
20, 25. I can see that.
CM Punk finds it insulting. How often does Steve go to Larson's house? And will there ever be a Going in Raw film from Casa de Larson? Steve never comes to my house anymore.
When's the last time I went to your house? It's been a long time.
I don't think we've done work at my house since you've moved here.
Oh, we haven't done that, no.
So has that been 3 years?
In terms of work done, yeah. Yeah, but you can go back and look at old 10 for the wins. It's got Larson's house in it.
Yeah. That guy. Should they put Ty Dillinger and Dolph Ziggler together in a tag team? SmackDown needs tag teams. And be after a run with the titles, Dolph can turn on Ty. It's not perfect, but it would get Ty some TV time. I really like Ty and Sami Zayn together as a tag team.
Yeah, I know, me too.
If Ty and Dolph are involved in anything, it should be a feud.
Can we just drop...
Because Dolph can say he's a perfect 10, and Ty says, no, I'm a perfect
10. Can we just drop the exclusive here? Dolph Ziggler been released from WWE.
It's not true.
Mutual terms, they agreed to them. Best future endeavor wishes.
It's not true.
From both.
It's not true.
Then we get Dolph on Instagram saying, hey, I'm here, and I'm going to El Pollo Loco, and I'm going to do some supplements. Nutritional supplements.
That's false.
And I'm going to start a podcast.
100% untrue, Steve. Next. Oh, I had a question. I lost it. Ty Dingleberry. Hey, friendos. Has there ever been a face heel turn that you hated the idea of at first but ended up liking?
Has there ever been a what?
A face or heel turn that you hated at first but ended up liking.
Probably. Let's see here. Man, I know there has been.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of it, though.
Oh, when AJ turned heel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At first, we were like, why? Because he was playing such the tweener role so well, and then this went full heel.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. He's great.
I'm going to say this. It's kind of surprising, but CM Punk, because it's like he had to turn heel because he was facing The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But then I really, really ended up loving his heel run. But does that count? Because I just really like CM Punk, and I would have.
But
liked
did you
him
like it when he turned face after he lost to The Undertaker?
Yeah, I always liked CM Punk.
Okay.
Although at that point they had kind of neutered him.
Yeah.
Because they weren't having him do much.
He seemed kind of bored with it.
Yeah, he seemed kind of bored with it.
The scraps of Steve's youth. Power rank, unexpected jobbers or lower mid-card WWE talent to be WWE or Universal Champ by 2020.
What is that a reference to? The scraps of Steve's youth?
I don't know.
That sounds familiar.
And you trademarked Power Rank.
Power Rank? Oh, it is now.
Guess
unexpected
so.
Jobbers or lower mid-card WWE talent.
So let's take Sami Zayn out of the equation.
Okay.
Granted, he loses a lot. But
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. By 2020, that's only 3 years.
It's time to start bulking up, Ty. Starts getting some of them more supplements.
Ty Dillinger, one.
Yeah. Oh, this is a power rank?
Yeah.
Okay. Ty Dillinger.
Bo Dallas.
Yeah, man. That'd be good. I got to hear that podcast he was on where he was talking all his crazy conspiracy theories.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I did a little bit of research on, I forget what they're called, but they're like biblical giants. Nah, Nihil Tell. And
yeah, no,
I think
about,
Bo was talking about them on the podcast. And like at some point, somebody thought they found like some skeletal remains and it was like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
They thought it was a giant human. Oh, man.
So we have Ty Dillinger, one.
Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll do Ty, one. Apollo, two.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Dallas, three.
Aiden English.
Yeah, he's on a win streak.
He's on a win streak right now.
He could be champ by
2020. Yeah, two wins a year, you're good.
So, Aiden English, 4-5. Need one more.
Up until now, I mean, since he's been a singles wrestler, Chad Gable. Number one, Chad Gable. Number two, Ty Dillinger. That guy again. Good questions from that guy. Say the club comes to SmackDown. Do they turn full face and go back with AJ? Does AJ turn heel, or they just stay away from
each
other completely?
They're not turning AJ heel. Probably they'll stay away from each other.
Probably, but they're already kind of like facing up the
club. Well, they're tweeners right now.
They're tweeners. Yeah, they could be tweeners and friends with AJ. Let's see here.
Double T. Hey, friendo. So we all are a little bit biased for wrestlers we like, but besides Seth Rollins, what are three WWE or NXT and two New Japan wrestlers that can do no wrong in your eyes?
Two New Japan wrestlers who could do no wrong in my eyes. Suzuki and Yano.
Okay.
You know, I mean, honestly, there's not a lot of wrestlers who can do no wrong. Man, I was watching. What was I watching? I was watching Juice Robinson versus Tama Tonga yesterday. Freaking love Tama Tonga.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
I'll say Naito.
Oh man, it's the best.
I mean, Omega and Okada are easy answers.
No, man. Look, man. Nobody in New Japan can do well. Okay. Like, you know, who do I not like? I don't like Yoshihashi. I don't like Juice Robinson.
You don't like Yoshitatsu?
You know, I know, but you know what? Every time you say the word, the name Yoshitatsu, I start laughing.
Yeah.
How can I hate on that? I hate on Bullet Club, Hunter Club?
I know. I think back to their merch table, the G1 specials, and no one was there.
That's the best. Literally a two-hour long. The length of the show, the length of two-thirds of the show... That's how long people had to stand in line for actual merch.
On day one, and they sold out of everything.
And right across from that was Bullet Club Hunter's table.
And no one was there.
And nobody was there.
A zero weight.
I really should have got that shirt.
All right, three WWE or NXT talents that can do no wrong in your eyes.
Aleister Black, Cassius Ohno, and Asuka.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to beat that.
You know what? I'm going to trade in Asuka because sometimes when they've booked her... I haven't been huge into it. Nikki Cross. Aleister Black, Cassius Ohno, Nikki Cross.
Okay.
Those are my three. Give us three from NXT.
No, it's WWE or NXT.
Oh. Main roster or NXT. I thought it was both. Okay. Let me think about main roster. Let's see who can do no wrong on the main roster for me. I mean, somebody I'll always love is going to be AJ Styles.
Yeah. You know? Like Kevin Owens, as far as I'm concerned, could pretty much do no wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Good answers.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Oh man, I don't even want to. The Gary James is killing me right here. Although I don't remember ever answering one of his questions, so I'm going to do this. He's the fashion police informant, Gary James. Imagine a world where Vince buys New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, sorry again. Sorry. Start again.
Imagine a world where Vince McMahon buys New Japan. Give us some example storylines he would enforce upon their roster. Great question, by the way, because it's you know. Somebody stole Kenny Omega's
broom,
and Yano has been tasked with finding out who it is. That's one of the storylines.
Oh, dear.
And actually done in New Japan, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Done in cheesy backstage vignettes, I would not like to see that. Oh, I probably would still like to see that, to be honest with you.
I mean,
Okada walks into the locker room and Don Marie is wearing nothing but his robe. He doesn't know how to react. Yeah, by the way, he brings back Don Marie. There you go. There's some storylines for
you. There
you
go. Well done.
Oh, good question. TGX. Seeing as Elias Samson lost his Samson in a car accident or whatever, who's next to lose their last name?
Oh,
he
yeah.
says his money's on Mojo. That's a good
That's
answer.
That's a really good point.
That's a good answer. Let's see here. Dolph isn't losing his last name, but he might be losing his job. Sami Zayn's not losing his last name. Seth Rollins is not losing his last name. Roman's not losing his last name. Who else? I could see potentially, maybe Apollo Crews losing his last name because Apollo is a strong name.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you think they'd ever get rid of Dillinger?
No.
Just be Ty?
No. 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 Do you think they'd ever just refer to Akira Tozawa as just Tozawa?
Well, given that it's the WWE, they would do it backwards and just call him Akira.
Yeah.
Because Akira, I'm assuming Tozawa's his first... His
last
name. Akira's his family name.
No.
Is that how they do it?
Well, in Japan, yeah. It means...
They would read his name Tozawa Akira.
Yes.
Akira. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would they ever just refer to him as Tozawa? No. I would say no. I don't think so. I could see them getting rid of the Tony out of Tony Nese.
Kneel before Nice
before Zod.
Hey, I like this promo last night.
Yeah, it was good.
We're going to talk about that in tomorrow's episode.
Yes.
Let's see here. What else?
Glorious Steve Klain. Hey, friendos. How bad were you hoping that Daniel Bryan would be the special guest referee for the Styles-Owens U.S. title match at SummerSlam? I just want to give Steve kudos for following Impact Wrestling. I've been enjoying the reviews and the show itself lately. Thanks for making the extra effort every week.
By the way, this Friday night, it's coming to the Going In Raw channel, the Impact reviews. You're okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. I mean, it's just more money for you.
So how much were we hoping for Daniel Bryan to be on to be the guest referee?
I half thought that's where it was going to go. But then, you know, obviously
I think they want to keep him out of the ring when any sort of match is going on.
He cannot have any contact. Yeah. So I think that was sort of in the back of my head too.
Oops.
So yeah. Yeah, Impact, it's easier when you can fast forward through, like, commercials and stuff.
The mayor of Planet Houston, who the hell attacked the fashion police? Do they even know right now? When will this be resolved? Will this never be resolved? And it'll just be some joke that never gets resolved, no matter how long they tease that the answer will be revealed next week. And it'll go on for so long, it'll no longer be funny. Thoughts?
We've had that. We've had that happen, where there is no resolution.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not just they've been attacked. Now Fandango is literally missing.
Yes. He's I was trying kidnapped. To see, you know, apart from the backwards audio you played for me, like, were there any hints with Victor smelling the rose, Connor pouring what looked to be maple syrup on a log? Were those clues, hints?
I mean, I have to go with the default. They either... Okay, with Tyler Breeze saying he knows who it is, are we going to find out next week, or is this maybe going to be a SummerSlam
thing? I have a feeling it's going to carry on the way to SummerSlam.
I have a feeling this is going to be a joke that the punchline is at SummerSlam, but it's not going to be a real feud.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. That they were maybe hoping it was going to be a feud... That may be going into, what was that last pay-per-view?
Battleground.
Going into Battleground, they had an idea. And then decided not to. They might have actually considered the Ascension, even though they did the Eddie Money joke before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we're like, no, let's do something else. I could see it, the punchline at SummerSlam, and it not culminating anything, which would be really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would. One more question, and then we'll do trivia.
Yes.
Let's see here. That's kind of funny. This is a good question. Xander McIntosh. On Raw, Sheamus made a joke about Seth not having any friends by saying he should have his own show called Ride Alone. But Seth was on Ride Along with Sheamus' tag team partner, Cesaro.
Yeah.
Do you think this was just the writing team being oblivious to their company's own products? Just a minor misstep? Or, then that's where he stops. I'm going to suggest, do you think that was a tongue-in-cheek crack? That was a joke.
Yeah.
Had to be a joke, right?
Yeah.
Because even if, like, when they give him the scripts, I'm assuming the writer comes up with it, clears it with somebody, and then goes gives him the script. I'm assuming the writing staff has contact with talent.
Vince has to read everything first, then yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But then the writing, whoever wrote it goes over to them and says,
or whoever produces the segment, yeah.
Right. And so at that point, Seth has got to say, well, you know, me, and say, yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I would think that they would be in on it. It was pretty funny.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let's end on this one.
Okay.
Hidden Leaf Village champion Namikaze Minato. Hey, friendos, if you had to make an argument for the greatest wrestler of all time, who would it be, and what would your argument be? All right.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think my favorite wrestler, who I think is greatest, is Shawn Michaels, but that's not who I'm going to make a case for. I'm going to make a case for Ric Flair.
Okay.
Ric Flair, for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Drew money.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestled predominantly in a period where the champion wrestled 8 matches a week.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, he wrestled hour-long time limit draws. He would go to territory and make their top guy look like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That was his job as champ.
Yeah.
And he did it. And he did it in a fashion that led to him winning the title, depending on what count you believe, 16, 18, or 20-some-plus times.
Mm-hmm.
probably next to Bruno, he has, I would suspect, this is me just thinking it's the case. I don't have any hard data to back me up, that in terms of combined length of reigns,
mm-hmm.
he might be second to Bruno all time.
Yeah.
He's definitely in the top 5.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just easily use the same case I made for Ric Flair for Bruno.
Yeah.
Because when he was champ, held that title for almost 8 years, he was wrestling.
Right, right.
Every day of the week, sometimes 2 matches on a certain day.
Yeah.
But that would be my case, something like that.
I'm going to say this, and it's not a popular answer, because I don't have a specific name. And it's funny because Meltzer always makes this point on Twitter, and people give him so much shit about it. And you can say what you want about Dave Meltzer.
I'm going to offer up a scenario for you.
But given that professional wrestling has been around for... Because there was a big stink on Twitter about people saying that... Meltzer said that Shawn Michaels was not in the top 30 of all-time draws.
Draws.
Yeah. Correct. And people, well, you don't think he's a top 30 wrestler?
I know.
Draws. Okay. I think that pro wrestling has been around, and I'm just echoing his sentiment, but I agree with it. It's been around for 120, 130, 150 years, something like that,
yeah.
Right? There are names that I've never seen one of their damn matches. Jim Londos, right? He was a legend in Greece, drew 100,000 people at one point, right?
Wow.
According to Dave Meltzer, and I don't know, because this is the thing that I like about Meltzer. It's not... Who's got the scoop on where storylines are going? It's not who's going over next week on SmackDown. It's not how was this finish botched or not. It's he's got an ungodly amount of wrestling history in his noggin.
Yeah.
Because he's been writing this shit for 30 years and he's done an ungodly amount of research.
Yeah.
And you have to respect people who've put in the work and the research.
Yeah.
And I might like he says that he laughs off anybody who ever says that Bret Hart wasn't like one of the greatest. That to me is subjective.
Yes, it is.
You know, we find him kind of boring.
Yeah.
Dave Meltzer loves him. That's great for him.
Which brings me to what I was going to do. Make the case for Bret Hart.
Oh, we could do that.
No, I mean, I think we can make the case for a lot of wrestlers. Like I said, I don't think Ric Flair is the greatest in-ring wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
But that would be the case I could make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so Jim Londos is a guy who apparently moved the needle much more than anybody had ever moved it before, and relative to the time, much
maybe
more
since.
Than anybody had moved it since. Who's the guy in Japan who's an absolute like legend?
Oh, Ricky Dozen?
Yeah, Ricky Dozen, exactly. I've never seen a Ricky Dozen match in my life.
Yeah.
Don't know dick about him, except... He was a massive, massive draw and a massive, massive name.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this. If you're taking the wealth of the history of professional wrestling, there are names out there that we have never heard of.
Yeah.
Or we have maybe heard once that have done much bigger and better things than Hulk Hogan has.
Yes.
Or that Stone Cold has.
Yes.
Or that even Ric Flair has or Bruno Sammartino has. So... I would have to do a lot more research to figure that one out. Because ever is a very long time.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a terrible answer.
You're not answering the question.
Because I'm not saying it's Macho Man. And I'm not
He's not necessarily saying state your case for why you think
so-and-so
this wrestler is greatest ever. He's saying just how would you go about making the case
somebody. Yeah, if that's the case, it's... if you were to look at number of people they drew over a specific amount of time,
body of work.
I mean, in-ring ability is, I think, one of the determining factors, but I don't know if there's one guy. And your case for Ric Flair, I think, is a very good, because you know, I have no idea if Jim Londos, I know that was way before they were doing high flying moves, like going up to the second rope, but like a second rope double axe handle was a high flying move back then.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to see a 5 hour match of that crap? Not me.
No.
So your case for Ric Flair is a really good one. Buddy Rogers was the first one to employ high-flying moves on a regular basis. He was kind of doing what the Young Bucks are doing now, turning high spots into a genre of its own.
Yes.
Case could be made.
Yep.
You know? So you got to fact, there's a lot of different factors at play. If you want to, if you can develop a point system based on, you know, X number of points is how much you drew, X number of points is what your in-ring ability was. Things like your promo ability, stuff like that. I mean, I think you have to take all that into effect. But the answer is Hulk Hogan. No, it's not. Anyways. So let's do trivia.
Yes. Yeah. There's a great conversation that's going on in chat right now. I'll revisit when we conclude the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
About why I have no stickers on my laptop.
Oh, no.
It's great.
Oh, no.
I suppose I can just answer it now. J.S. Wooten says, I bet money that he hardly has any icons on his screen. Guess what? My desktop is extraordinarily clean and tidy. Where Steve's used to be all over the place. Yeah, still is.
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
I am completely and totally organized.
Yeah.
Everything's got its place.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yes, you go ahead.
Okay. We'll do classic first. What former protege did Bruno Sammartino defeat at the 1980 Showdown at Shea event?
Larry Zbysko.
Yep.
What former baseball player and announcer was a guest interviewer at WrestleMania's 3 and 4 and was famously choked by Andre the Giant?
Bob Uecker.
Very good.
Who was the first WWE champion in history winning the title in April 1963?
Buddy Rogers.
Yeah, you're going to do really well.
Okay. Who defeated Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series 96?
Sid.
Very good.
Who first managed Shawn Michaels when he launched his solo career in the early 1990s?
Sherry Martel.
Yep.
Okay. Who initially served as Bam Bam Bigelow's manager when he debuted with the WWE in 1987?
Ooh. DiBiase?
No, Oliver Humperdinck.
Oh. No, it's me.
Okay.
What two brothers clashed one-on-one for the first time at WrestleMania 14?
WrestleMania 14.
Yes.
Oh, Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
Okay. Who put his career on the line for a shot at Triple H's WWE Championship at Hell in a Cell, No Way Out 2000?
You might want to move your thing because I can see. Chris Jericho.
Mick Foley.
Oh. Who was the last WWE? Oh, I knew that. Who was the last WWE Hardcore Champion when he won the title and unified it with the Intercontinental Championship of August of 2002?
I'll say RVD.
Yeah.
In October 2000, Edge and Christian disguised themselves as what tag team when winning the World Tag Team Championship?
Hardy Boys?
I'll let you try again. They disguise themselves as luchadors. What would be their names?
I don't know.
Los Conquistadores.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would never remember that.
Never remember that. What superstar gave new meaning to the phrase food fight when he attacked Booker T in the supermarket?
Oh, Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Nice. Clean sweep.
Yep.
Who is known for finishing off his opponents with a 5-star frog splash?
RVD.
All
so
right.
You get 3 cards.
I get 3 cards. All right. Tres?
Yeah.
Oh, it's another jazz one for Evil Larson. Looking for all my jazz ones. All right, I'm going to take one. I feel like I have all those. Are there cards around here?
Yeah, I know. There's some over there.
Yeah, I think we've seen most of those, too. I think I might have some in there. Fuck it.
There's some good ones in there.
Three of these. Let's take these three. I got... Ringleaders, Chris Jericho. I got broken Matt Hardy. It's just Matt Hardy in the middle of a leg drop.
Yeah.
And I got 2001 championship clash checklist.
Cool.
Nice.
That is a prize.
Oh, man, that's it for the show. Patrons, stay tuned. Keep hanging on, whatever you're doing.
Hanging out.
Yeah, hanging out. Thank you. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.